Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Remember to check us out on Facebook, the Twitters, and our new YouTube channel. Just search Saints Happy Hour Podcast and find us. We need all the help we can get. We're going to go real quick tonight because my voice could give out at any moment, and I could sound like I swallowed a bag of gravel. So, Andrew, let's get right to it. The Saints actually had news today. They cut Kobe Fleener, who you had said through your sources that he couldn't pass the concussion protocol. That makes sense because it's really weird that they waited this long to cut him unless they had a really good reason to do so.
I think it was mainly that he was always going to be a post June 1st cut. They were waiting to see if he could pass his physical. I think he ended up getting waived with a failure to pass physical designation. So I still don't think he's cleared from his last concussion. And, it's too bad. But, yeah, I think there's a good chance that he's done. And even if he isn't, I mean, to me, this is one of the least surprising moves of the whole offseason. I think, if anything, we were surprised that he got paid his bonus, his roster bonus, and that he wasn't cut going into free agency. So... I didn't expect to see him on the Saints this year, and it was just a matter of time. And, it's too bad it didn't work out. Obviously, they paid a lot to get him to come. And
they paid a lot.
It's just, another...
Some might say too much.
There's a lot of great stories, especially in recent times with the Saints and some of their successes. But, man, if there's one thing they've had a lot of these last 5 years, it's failed free agents. And, Fairley last year, Fleener this year. Those are big contracts they have to swallow.
Is Fleener
Dave, go ahead
married?
And
is Fleener married and have children or anything like that? Does he have like a family that he needs to take care of? I mean, I just feel like...
We got a $6 million bonus, right?
Well, this year, because
Parsons' contract was guaranteed, right?
Why? Where are you going with this, Dave?
My point is like if he still has can't pass a physical and he's got head issues, concussion issues, I wouldn't come back. I think that would be, knowing what we know now about CTE and head injuries and football, I wouldn't even bother coming back.
Well, his agent says that he wants to keep playing if he can pass a physical.
That's why I ask whether he has a wife and family, because I think if he had a wife and family, I think he would seriously consider just retiring and calling it quits.
I don't think he does, but I'm not sure about that, but about whether he has kids or not. But I think the thing you got to understand, Dave, is like for these football players, they play it their whole lives. It's all they know. And so I think it's very easy for us to be like, yeah, like, he should quit. He's got a life ahead of him to think about. But I think for some of these guys, it's just, they don't know anything else.
I get that, but I mean...
But Fleener's a smart guy. He's got a degree from Stanford.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing for sure. I was going to mention that. He's not an idiot. The other thing is we know a lot more than we did 5 years ago, and especially 10 years ago. And we've seen people call it quits earlier than usual. Chris Borland, for the most part, yeah, most of these guys probably are frightened to even think about life after football because they don't know what they're going to do. But I mean, I think Fleener's hopefully, if he hasn't wasted it, he's done well enough financially that he could certainly retire comfortably. And I just, it's just not worth it. Really isn't worth it.
I mean, we were arguing today on the via the text and stuff, but I mean, the contract for Flannery, he wasn't a great signing, he wasn't a good signing, but I don't think he rates like horrible bust, like Bird, Browner, Jason David. I love him. I liked his hair. His hair was magnificent.
He shaved when he had it.
He kind of was long and flowing. It was magnificent.
He kind of went all downhill since he shaved it, actually, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, he shaved it between 2016 and 2017, right?
Maybe it was easier for him to get a concussion without the hair.
Oh, man.
That's really mean, but so, so true. I mean, Andrew, you are practically a doctor, so.
Sure.
So, I guess, where would you rate Flannery on the bad Saints free agent scale? Bird being like the worst.
Well, no, you know, Fairley's the worst. Like, Fairley's kind of like hard to describe because obviously the 1 year contract he got, he was phenomenal. I mean, Fairley's first deal, he was like the steal of the century. But like, that deal is completely separate from his second deal. So like, you can evaluate those two signings separately. And I think the first Fairley deal was one of the best bargains maybe ever in the Sean Payton era, maybe second to Darren Sharper and Breeze, you know, but other than that, like it was the best. But the second Fairley contract, I would argue, was the worst ever because, I mean, literally that was freshly minted, freshly signed, and boom, done. And they lost all that money. So that
was the meme of the Joker with the pile of money burning.
Yeah. And so, you know, after that, I would say Spiller was one of the worst.
If only there was somebody who said not to re-sign Nick Fairley. If only there was a level-headed, stable genius somewhere out there, somewhere, anywhere in the world. Who would have said?
Where could he be? We should get him on this podcast.
Who would have said,
maybe one day we'll meet.
Don't sign Nick Fairley. Don't re-sign him. If only. Yeah. If only such a person existed. Oh, how much more money the Saints would have.
But anyway, I would say Fairley is similar to Bird and Jason David. I mean, those guys played. I mean, David had a bunch of picks. Bird intercepted Matt Ryan once. I think. Did he? No, maybe not.
He did.
He had two.
No, that you're thinking of Jamal Sanford.
Yeah, well, Bird had a couple interceptions in a game once against the Bucks. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel about Flannery. Like, he just plays a different position that puts up more stats.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I mean, Fleener had more stats just because he plays tight end, but I mean, I feel like the Saints tried to make it work in year one. And then in year two, they pretty much gave up on him. I mean, they decided in year two, he played 11 games and had 22 catches. He was averaging 2 catches a game, and they weren't playing him unless it was the 2-minute drill. He would run seam routes when they would be in an empty backfield in 2 minutes, and that was it.
To be fair, was phenomenal against the Redskins.
Yeah, but it was all like 2-minute drill catches, right?
Well, you know what? Honestly, hey, now just for that game alone, I'd say fine. It was worth it.
I mean, he was.
That was a great game. I loved that game. That was the game I took my son. The incredible comeback. That was he helped give me and my son a moment there. So.
You're building a Saints. That's how you build a young Saints fan for life. You give them those great memories when they're young.
Jason David had the fumble return against the Colts, and you know, Bird had the two interception game, and who else was the awful free agency? Spiller had the Dallas Cowboys overtime walk off. So like, all these garbage guys had like a moment. It doesn't mean they were better than each other.
One special moment.
I would reach
for the stars.
I'll continue.
I gotta stop singing. My voice is gonna go.
I really think with Flannery, you can maybe give him a tick above David, Bird, and Spiller, but that's it. I mean, barely better.
He doesn't get a half a point for marvelous hair?
He does. No. I'll give him a half a point for that. His hair was fabulous.
All right.
He should have never shaved it.
So that was actual Saints news today. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is interesting, is we all know the Saints traded up for Marcus Davenport. But the thing that the thing that was interesting is it's the first time in the common draft era that a team gave up a first round pick for the next year to move up and didn't move up into the top 12. So basically, the Saints paid like the price that you would normally pay to get to pick 5, and they got to pick 14. And the Saints' rationale for it is, and this was Sean Payton, he said, look, quarterback, left tackle, corner, pass rusher, edge guy. Those are the 4 premium positions that you cannot get in free agency. And that's why we moved up. And a lot of people are kind of like, no, that's not true. They're laughing at the Saints. But Andrew, I think I can make an argument that if it works out next year, the draft is all defensive linemen. Ed Oliver from Houston, University of Houston, and a bunch of other dudes from Clemson. Like, if it works out, the Saints can be a trendsetter like they were with Kamara. But what's your overall take on Sean Payton's stating, hey, look, we think you can't get an edge rusher in free agency. You got to draft him. We had to move up. We believe in Davenport. Is his theory sound?
I mean, I still don't love it. I mean, time will tell, you know. But I just think he's from UT San Antonio. He had 8 sacks playing over there. Or where is he from again? Yeah, UT San Antonio. Yeah. So, I mean, he, you know, it's not like he had 17 sacks playing in a average conference. So, I don't know. The production wasn't there for me. I get that he has high upside, but like, man, that's a lot to give up. And so we'll see. Like, I do agree with your statement that it's hard to get pass rushers. And sometimes, especially when you're picking 27th, like that's what you have to do. If you feel like you got to get a pass rusher or you're not going to have one, you're not going to get one, or you're not going to win. You know, that's the difference between moving forward in the playoffs and, you know, struggling to get in. Then I see the logic behind it. But at the end of the day, this feels a little bit like a Jairus Byrd move. It reeks of desperation.
Dave, do you agree with Sean Payton's theory, or as you've had a week or so more so to process it, does it feel really desperate and that this is going to be looked back as like, that was dumb as fuck that the Saints gave up all that for a pass rusher?
I guess I sort of agree with him. I don't know if I would put cornerback on the list, but quarterback obviously, and edge rusher.
I can think of I can name corners, elite corners that moved in free agency. I can name even offensive tackles a couple. Quarterback, you can't really except for like Breeze. But Andrew and Dave, can you think of an edge guy that moved in his prime and was awesome one place and then was awesome another?
Joe Johnson, about more modern.
Yeah, like. But Joe Johnson didn't do crap for me.
No, I know, but he left the Saints moved in his prime. I mean, when he left the Saints, he was awesome. And then he got hurt.
That's true.
Yeah, I can't really think of a.
Well, I was going to say
Abraham was over the hill, right? Freeney and Abraham when they left.
Freeney was over the hill.
Doomerville?
Yes, kinda? That was Abraham.
Elvis Doomerville?
Yeah, but he kind of was a bounce back guy, not really in his prime though. But he did have some good years after.
Well, anyway, I mean, I agree that quarterback and pass rusher, I would put those two in the same category, and I would say, yeah, it's difficult to find those guys in free agency. And you're going to have to draft somebody like that. I that doesn't change the fact that they might have overreached for him and spent a little bit too much to get him. but the fact of the matter is, this all depends on Marcus Davenport. I mean, obviously, if Marcus Davenport plays very well, then nobody's going to complain about spending a first round pick. I mean, hey, they had 2 first round picks last year, didn't they?
Yes.
So they have 3 first round picks in 3 years, just spread out differently.
But they lost Brandon Cooks.
Did they? I mean, lost Brandon Cooks? They got rid of Brandon Cooks. They got rid of somebody they wanted to get rid of anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. But I just think when you say they got 3 first round picks, I mean, you got to understand that it comes at the in the context of what they gave up to get one of those first round picks. You know, like, you automatically get 3 first round picks no matter what.
Right.
So, like, they had 3 first round picks, but they gave up a player. You know, so it's not like they drafted 3 guys and kept Cooks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, here's an interesting thing that people were – John Sigler, friend of the show, did a quick shot with us last week, has almost 2,000 listens. Thanks, John. He was saying that his really optimistic goal or for Cam Jordan, Okafor, and Marcus Davenport was 35 sacks and 15 knockdown passes to line of scrimmage. I told him if those 3 guys combine for 35 sacks, I will dress up as Freddie Mercury.
They're going to average 11 Twitter per five. Person? More than 11 per person?
Hey, he said it. I said that's ridiculous. And I said I'll dress up as Freddie Mercury and sing We Are the Champions, because that's what the Saints are going to be if those 3 dudes combine for 35 sacks.
That's not happening.
I said the best case scenario is 26, where you get 13 from Cam Jordan and 6 and a half a piece from Okafor. And
With you. Yeah, that feels like the ceiling. I mean, that's best case scenario. How much did you say that was? 26?
26.
Yeah, that feels like the ceiling. Yeah.
But I secretly want to dress up as Freddie Mercury. I'm not going to lie. I'm a man of my word. I at least attempted to eat the cat food.
You didn't have to eat it. You just had to put your finger in.
I did. I tried. I just couldn't. I got like just a tiny bit of it down. I couldn't get it down. But I tried, and we have video evidence of it. So, you know, people know I'm a man of my word. So I really hope that I'm doing that. I'll get the wife beater tea. I'll get the mustache. My wife will give me some hot pants. We'll do it up. My wife. Yeah.
My wife. Oh man, there's some people that hate that we say that, and now they're really annoyed because we've got the sound effect too.
Wait, people hate that? Really?
Oh yeah, there's people that think it's so old and played out, which it is.
Really?
But that's why we do it. Totally
is. That's why it's great. I actually want people on Twitter to at me and tell me if you hate that. That shocks me. No one has ever complained about that.
Oh, you don't read the comments on Canal Street Chronicles.
Oh, okay. So they're bitching about it on Canal Street Chronicles.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody. Just like
Verit.
Let me guess. Verit. Stugio.
Nah, I don't think it was him. I don't remember who it was, to be honest with you. Somebody. It was somebody that I think is from Britain, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's funny. I'm not recalling their name right now.
My wife.
Anyway. All right, Ralph, what do you got next?
I have next. I was just going to say that we don't have much next, but I will say people on Twitter.
Did you put out a call for questions on Twitter?
I did. Can one of you pull it up on your phone so I don't have I'll do it, but you need to talk, cuz I don't want people to have all the monstrous clicks in the background while I go and find it. So talk about how you're going to spend the next summertime without football news.
How I'm going to spend summer without football news? I'm hopefully going to maybe buy a house this summer and sell my current house that I'm living in. So that's going to take up a lot of my free time, I feel like.
It's funny Dave says that. I'm currently building a house, which should be done in August. So that's kind of taking up. I just sold my current house that I'm living in, and it's closes in June, mid June. So we have to like live in a halfway, like month to month rental for a couple months until the house we're building is finished.
That's a pain.
So we'll be moving twice. Yeah, that's right. Twice in like, yeah, it's gonna be awful.
I will say, having moved before that and paying, having paid people to move, that that's some of the best money well spent there.
I already told my wife, I already told her that I'm not lifting a finger. Like, I'm just like, I'm not going to wreck my back. Like, my back is already kind of shaky, my lower back, and I'm not going to have a horrible injury, you know, moving and carrying furniture and stuff. I'm not going to do it. So like, I'm going to pay someone and I'm not going to lift a finger, and I'm going to lay on the floor, drink beer, and watch them take the boxes away into the.
Will you point like a rich Monopoly man with a monocle?
I'll probably wear a robe and do that. Yeah.
All right. Here's some questions before we get out of here. This is a good question. Alfredo asked, Arsene Wenger, the manager for Arsenal, got a really nice send off. He'd been at Arsenal, if you don't follow the EPL, he'd been there for 22 years. He like revolutionized British soccer. He won like 7 FA Cups, like 3 Premier League titles. But the last like 3, 4, 5 years, he's kind of gotten stale and they hadn't won much. But they gave him a really nice send-off. Do you think if that happens with Sean Payton, the Saints fans will give him a nice send-off like the Arsenal fans did for Arsene Wenger?
Andrew? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Zach Streif had a nice send-off. Jari Evans, Marcus Colston. I mean, I feel like, you know, things ended well with those players. And I just think Breeze and Payton, whenever the time comes, that will be more significant of a send-off than any coach or player ever, all time in Saints history. No doubt.
Dave, you think
they're going to have a fucking parade for him?
I completely disagree. I think it'll be ugly, because what NFL coach gets to go out nicely? Bill Walsh, when he announced his retire after Super Bowl. Like, name me another one that went out nicely. Landry didn't. Shula didn't. Like, they're going to run Sean Payton out on a rail just like they do every other fucking coach. And I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but that's how it's going to be. Drew Brees will be nice and dignified.
True. I mean, are you talking about with fans or with the organization?
Oh, wow.
Fans.
I don't know. Maybe, because he might just retire. Because as far as I'm concerned, if Mickey Loomis and Dennis Lausch are in charge, I mean, they're going to keep Payton until Payton is ready to leave.
Yeah, here's another. Ooh, this is a question that Andrew texted me that he wanted today. With the release of Kobe Fleener, should the Saints bring in an established vet playmaker in Julius Thomas or Dez Bryant? Jesus, what are we, the fucking Raiders and John Gruden all of a sudden? We the wayward home for the elderly?
I would love both players. Why not? Like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to add depth. And, you know, if the guys don't work out, like Adrian Peterson, maybe you trade him for a 6th-round pick. Maybe you just unload them. I'm not convinced either player helps the Saints necessarily, but I just don't see a downside. If you can get him, you can fit him under the cap. And I just don't see a downside to adding guys like that. I mean, maybe there's some cost to having a veteran on your team with expectations, and, you know, they would want a role. And, you know, I think we saw that with Adrian Peterson. It can be stressful if guys that expect to play and that have a reputation kind of end up not being a good fit. And then you want to play the younger guys, and, you know, it causes problems in the locker room, but that's why you can cut them or trade them. And so, you know, at this point in their careers, it's not a given that Julius Thomas and Dez Bryant are any good anymore. I mean, Dez had an okay year last year, but they've got to prove themselves regardless of where they go. But I just, you know, especially with Julius Thomas, I just think the Saints tight ends, I mean, we're banking on Benjamin Watson, you know, dipping into the fountain of youth.
We're gonna have the Golden Girls at tight end, Andrew. We're gonna have Julius Thomas and Ben Watson, and, you know, I guess we could bring in another agent
because our tight ends are kind of awful.
Play off Josh Hill, baby. Play off Josh Hill. Why are you stressing? Dave, are you for bringing in the elderly?
Absolutely.
What's the downside?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it's for cheap, there's absolutely no downside to bringing somebody in, and you know, maybe you get another David Patton.
I'll tell you the downside. Julius Thomas falls down in the shower, his life call doesn't work, and you have a tragedy at training camp. That's the downside.
That does sound awful. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I just feel like you look at Peterson and it didn't work out. No regrets. I'm glad they tried, you know?
No, I totally agree. I mean, I'm joking, but I mean, if they want to bring him in, it's fine. I mean, they brought in Dan Morgan. They brought in veteran guys that don't pan out. I mean, Dez Bryant, he turned down like 3 years, $21 million from Baltimore, which now looks fucking ridiculous because he has no offers on the table.
Here's the thing. When you sign a guy like Champ Bailey and you expect him to be your starting corner, and when he blows and he can't even make the opening day roster and you're stuck having to start Corey White, yeah, that's a problem. But when you've got Cam Meredith and you've got Mike Thomas and you've got Ted Ginn, if Dez Bryant's knee explodes, like, it doesn't matter. You've got other guys and you're fine. Or if Julius Thomas doesn't work out, then maybe Ben Watson has a good year or Josh Hill can fill in. So it's not the end of the world, but it's when you've got no one behind Champ Bailey. That's when you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be counting on these guys to be awesome. But, if they can compete for a roster spot, I mean, to me, that's no different than signing Laribius last year, who was a veteran, where you bring him in and if he beats out the rookies and he makes the team over undrafted guys, then good. It's better for depth.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, if Dez Bryant would happen to make the team, the potential shouting match with Sean Payton after he goes a month without catching a pass would be delightful and great for our show to generate.
Well, that's the thing.
Clicks.
I mean, I think that's why I think he'd be a hard guy to sign, is that, you know, Sean Payton would have to be honest with him coming in. Like, look, you're going to have to earn it. And Michael Thomas is our guy. So, like, you're not going to come here and catch 80 balls. And if that's what you want, then you're not going to be happy here. But if you're cool catching 40 balls this year, having a role and trying to win a Super Bowl, like, that's what we can give you. And so that's something. I mean, he needs to look in the mirror and ask himself if that's going to make him happy or not. A lot of players that have been as good as he has been, aren't going to be satisfied with that. And that's just a reality.
Bob asks, Dave, who is the most responsible for the 2 million downloads? Mm. I feel like Canal Street Chronicles, when you were running it, is number one. Andrew's Film Breakdown is two. And Minxie the Cat is third. That's what I think is the key.
Oh, I think it's the podcast. My wife, Borat references.
Oh, he just hit you with three.
See, I mean, am I wrong? Boom, that's what people. All right. That's why people love this podcast.
I think most of our listeners are just drunk.
No, they're right, and they are. They tolerate bad audio. They tolerate background noise. They tolerate us eating. So look, we didn't get to the fun Saints quarterback trivia that we were talking about yesterday. We're going to get that to next week. But we got to save these topics because now we get into the doldrums and we got to survive like 10, 12 weeks before training camp starts. So we got to like parse out the good topics. Me and Andrew were talking today and we were like, oh no, we can't put all these topics tonight because one, my voice is shot. And two, we got to spread these things out because we got to get through the summer. And then remember, what's the number one rule in the summer, kids? You don't want any Saints news because any Saints news in the summer means A, somebody got arrested, or B, somebody got injured working out on their own. And you don't want none of that shit.
Can we talk about Big Lee next week?
That'll wrap it up. But remember, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about next week. I'll be looking for – we'll be desperate for topics by then. So for Andrew, for Dave, until next week, the bar
is closed. My wife.